Hey, it's Paula. I just want to let you know that I have two spots open on my coaching calendar, and I am so excited to meet these new clients and work with them, whoever they are. Is it you? I'm looking for beautiful, sweet souls who are ready to make changes in their life. Maybe something's been pulling at you or calling you, or maybe you just know you're ready because you are sick of the same old results or lack of results for what you want in your life. Well, let's go. I know you're ready for more. I know you can do this. I see you and I know you and I'm with you. I have a space on my calendar waiting for you. Go to my website, check out my coaching packages, and look at my About Me page to learn more about me and book a free discovery call. Let's find out if we're a good match for working together. Some of the best investments I've made in my entire life were on coaching. You can find everything at ReikiFlowMN.com. Let's connect and have an honest, vulnerable, heart-to-heart conversation about what you want and how you can make an impact in the world. And let's get you going in the right direction. I cannot wait to meet you. Do you have all the things they say should make you happy, but you still feel unfulfilled? Are you always doing what you should do? Or do you never feel like you're enough? And you want to feel better, more fulfilled, more aligned, and more comfortable in your own body? Then this is the show. Scared as fuck and doing it anyway, showing up authentically. My name is Paula Schuster, and I'm a self-love and authenticity coach. My life completely changed when I started loving myself again, putting myself first, and being true to me. This is the show that's going to help you get out of being stuck, out of the cycles of self-abandonment, and help you choose yourself without feeling selfish. It will give you not only inspiration, but awareness, courage, and insights to make changes and live your life for you. Hello, beautiful people. It's Paula Schuster. Welcome back to the Scared as Fuck and Doing It Anyway, Showing Up Authentically podcast. I hope your week is going good now that we are past the eclipse. Even though we're still in those energies, we're past the hardest part. So I hope you're feeling less intense emotions. I know I am. A little bit anyway. And I also just want to say thanks for being here. How are you doing? How are you feeling today? I'm feeling slow and a bit tired. Actually, I'm feeling exhausted, exhausted physically today. We've been cleaning for the past several days. We had painters in our house last week, and we were taking the popcorn off of some of our ceilings, and it was a fucking wreck in our house. They were only supposed to be here for like 3 days, and they were here for five because they had to keep redoing some things. And we were just not really prepared for what happened. You know, we thought we'd be able to get into our kitchen and get into our reverse osmosis water faucet at the sink. You know, we'd be able to get to our refrigerator and some other stuff that we rely on a daily basis. And that was not the case. Like, no one really prepared us for it. And it was our first time, and we just didn't know. Anyway, once they left, we went into major cleaning mode for like 4+ days, and we're still not quite done. There was a film of construction dust on literally everything in the house. So it all had to be cleaned. Like, every single thing in every cupboard and every single thing in every drawer in the kitchen needed to be cleaned. Every leaf on every plant had to be wiped off, and we have a shit ton of plants in our house. We love our plant babies. Every rug, every blanket, every towel, everything in the house had to be washed and put through the washing machine. Like, it was just horrible. And we still have the basement to clean and a couple of cupboards in the kitchen, which won't take us that long, but man, has it been a wild fucking ride. My wife also fell down the stairs during this whole thing, and thankfully she's okay, but it was hard. I mean, I had to give her like a little mini personal sound bath to get her to stop shaking that day that she fell down the stairs. It's just been really hard. And, you know, just having people in your space for that long is difficult. But, you know, I was actually saying to a group of friends the other day, that as I was reflecting on it all, that that it was actually a beautiful process to go through, the cleaning part of it anyway. Because number one, it's spring cleaning time, and now that's all done. And number two, it helped me reflect on what needed to be cleaned and cleansed out of my own thoughts and beliefs. And to be honest, the old stories that still may have a run at me here and there. So although I'm super tired and sore, I was able to find some good in it for myself. So I'm grateful for that. And spending all that time and energy on the house also didn't leave me any time for my business. So I've been trying to catch up on all things podcasting and coaching and sound healing and all the stuff, and which includes rebranding, which is the first time I've mentioned it on my podcast. And I'm super excited about my rebrand for my business. And I'll tell you more about it as we work through it. But the gist of it is my business's name is Reiki Flow. And that's because when I first started my business, I was only a Reiki healer, and now I'm a coach and a sound healer and a podcaster and all these things. And so we need to incorporate all of that into the name of the business and the vibe and everything. So we're working on rebranding. Anywho, I have Leslie Maloney, with me on the podcast today. Leslie Maloney. And I met Leslie in my podcasting program, and I'm so glad that we connected. She's just such a great lady. She's an interesting person. And, you know, we just had a very laid back, open conversation, and I loved that. We talked podcasting, motherhood, embracing help, which is a biggie for me. Not so much now. I mean, I can ask for help so much more easily now than I ever did in the past. Back when I was, you know, I had a dysregulated nervous system and then was in corporate America and everything, I thought it was all on my own shoulders and I never asked for help. So we talked self-improvement and authenticity, examining our expectations and intuition, which is always one of my faves. She just had some really great gems to share about making everything fun, which I need a lesson on. Allowing the fearful part of you to be heard rather than resisting it. You know, welcoming all of those parts of us in. Being a supporter and a validator rather than a fixer for other people. Examining our expectations and listening to our intuition. You know, and one of the things that I loved about what she said, and she says this right in the beginning, was how her latest new identity is being a podcaster. And I love how she said it, because it inherently implies that we should always be learning and growing and changing and evolving, which you've heard me talk about many times before. I really strongly believe that that's how we're, you know, meant to be living our lives, changing all the time, and changing our identities all the time. And I haven't believed that all of my life, and that's why I say that so much out loud. I also loved our conversation about intuition and her emphasis on the fact that your intuition will never steer you in the wrong way. And you won't want to miss this. So without further ado, please welcome Leslie Maloney. Hi, Leslie. Welcome. I'm so happy to have you on today with me.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure. We've had a couple other conversations already, so it's always great to talk.
Yes. Yes. I'm glad for our connection. Met each other in our podcasting class. So
yes, we did.
And I hope we stay connected.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So start us off, Leslie. Just tell us a little bit about who you are and, you know, what Leslie's got going on.
Oh, goodness. Well, right now, Leslie is a podcaster. That's my latest new identity. Just launched actually a couple of days ago. So, and that's, as Paula mentioned, that's how we met back in the late summer. So really just having a lot of fun with learning and growing all the tech and just learning all the ins and outs of that whole world. I'm an educator. That's my background. And I've taught high school. I teach college currently. Sociology, to be specific.
Interesting. And
yeah. Done that, you know, a good part of my life. But taught a lot of different things. Like I teach yoga. I've taught, you know, women in transition. I've taught even ballet to little ones years ago, which was, very shaky, but nonetheless, I was out there doing it. And so teacher is definitely part of my identity in different ways and all different age groups. Let's see, what else can I tell you? I've written books. I'm an author. When I left the traditional classroom in 2013, I wrote my first book, which was really related to my teaching at that time, and it's called Things to Remember as You Fly from the Nest, because I was having these conversations with kids over and over about, words of wisdom, words of advice, kids that are launching into young adulthood. And so that turned into a book. That was my first one, and I thought it was a one and done, but I ended up doing two children's books after that. So really, the last 10 years, a lot of my focus shifted over to the author world and what that entails, doing author visits and author events and so on. Not in a huge way, but I play in it off and on as much as I want to. Let's put it that way. So that's a little bit about me. I mean, I'm married. I've been married 39 years, which is to an incredible man. And we have basically raised each other.
I
We've raised, I
love
mean,
that.
I think you have to when you're together that long. We have two beautiful kids that are in their 30s now, and they're off living their lives. So yeah, things are good.
Awesome. Well, and congrats on your launch of your podcast.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's exciting and scary and all the things, right?
Yes, all the things. And we were just talking before we got on that while it's scary, it's so expansive and empowering and all of those good things too.
Yeah, it's funny. I woke up this morning. In the last few days, I've had a range of different emotions, and I'm very aware of the voices in my head that want to start telling me the old stories or old things that I used to believe about, nobody's going to listen, or what are you doing, or what have you done here? Can you handle this? And then, it's funny because with age comes the ability, I think, to pull out those stories and just kind of go, now wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute here. Is that true? And so not to give them so much energy when those stories, and or you could look at it as a part of me, an old part of me that was afraid and was at different times, but yeah, not buying into the story quite so much, or and not pushing it down either, but just recognizing, like, oh yeah, kind of like an old friend. Oh yeah, hi old friend. I don't know if I believe that story anymore.
Calling them out, huh? Calling them out.
Yeah, gently, gently.
So I'm really glad that you brought that up because those old voices, they can mess with not only what we're when we're stretching ourselves like we are and growing in this new way, but they can mess with our authenticity, right? And so you said just a minute ago, Leslie, I don't want to push them down, but you question them and is this really true? Like, how do you then eliminate them or I don't know what the word is, like get them to stop or
That's been a process over years. And I did some therapy work with that years ago, and that was my therapist friend, who's brilliant. She, was one of the early people that adopted internal family systems, which is kind of all the rage now. That's not her only focus, but she does use that tool in her toolbox. And so I think it is recognizing where some of these parts of ourselves come from. And the situations we were in, because we've all had different things when we were growing up and so on. And so just taking some time to go back and look at that. And it's almost like when you do that, it allows that part of you who was afraid, because usually it's fear, Even if it's anger, there's usually fear behind that. It's allowing that part of you to be heard. And it's just like for most of us, when we're heard, then we feel validated and there's like an energy release, like, ah, okay, I said what I had to say and you listened. Okay, it's and so they so there's an to for me, it's like an integration that happens.
Wow, that's really powerful. So allowing is rather than resisting is really important, right? And so how do you do that exactly? I'm curious, I'm
well,
curious for the listeners.
you talking is one. I have an amazing group of friends, and we meet in some cases once a week or once a month, and we kind of share and call each other out and support each other and so on. So there's that, but I would think early, I'm thinking back to more early on. It was really, some of this was the work I was doing, reading in therapy, but also, and I didn't do a lot of therapy, but I did some very short, effective therapy. I don't think therapy has to go on and on and on either. And it being ready kind of to release some of that, but just having time for introspection. For me, it's going out in nature, reading a good book that relates to this. Those are sort of the ways that I take time to sort of pull out what's really going on internally with me. So I guess when you're asking about my process, that would be it. Also, my husband is a great sounding board as well. So, I think that it's important being in community with people who are growing and want to see you grow.
I totally agree with that, right? I mean, it's so community is so and connection is so much more important. I'm realizing the power in it now, and for so much of my life. I had friends, and yes, I loved them and talked to them about things and stuff, but it just wasn't a, I don't know how to explain it. I think it's a deeper level or something now. And now that I'm more authentic, my connections are more authentic and deeper. But being in community is so powerful, and talking like you had said a minute ago, when you say things, right, it sort of they start to lose their power when you talk about them out loud, right? And if they're not losing their power and you're talking to your community, right, the people you're really connected with, then they're going to help you remind you of what the truth really is, right? And help build you up and help remind you, that those are old thoughts or that's not the truth, and those are just the fears that are coming up.
Exactly. And I think it has to be done in a way too that is validating, because and not just somebody trying to come in and fix it. Oh, no, yes, you can do that. And kind of there's a way that that to do that with people, because I know I in my life I've been tried to be the fixer, and I've tried to with certainly with family members and close friends, and instead of just the supporter and the validator. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that up because it can feel, diminishing or whatever if it's not done with validation and compassion and empathy and understanding and not trying to always fix, right? But to walk alongside and be with, right?
Yeah. Sometimes it's just allowing yourself, having a space to be able to say something out loud without really even anybody necessarily responding, where you get to hear it out loud and you go, That's not really true. You know what I mean? And they're, the other person is just sort of there to witness it. They're not really there to, they don't even have to necessarily say anything. So there's a lot of power in having that witness there.
Agreed. I love that you brought that up. I created a sacred sisterhood circle recently, and we meet once a month right now. And I kind of have this thing that we do. We say what's on our heart, and I want everybody to brag about one thing, not in a boastful way, but because what we do on the daily as women is like epic. Like we're legendary, in what we accomplish every day. And so let's brag about what we have going on, sisters. And then like what's one thing we're struggling with or want help with. And then I have a thing where it's what's one thing where you just need to say it out loud and not get a response from anybody. And so I love that you just like kind of brought us there and reminded me of that, because there is a lot of power in like you said, Leslie, just being able to say it out loud.
And sometimes that's all we need, because we can hear our BS. We can hear our BS. You're like, God, that's bullshit. So yeah, there's that goes a long way.
So I love that you're an author. I'm curious about that. Birthing books, geez, wow. I mean, what was that process like? And was that scary at all?
It was, and that process has actually made this podcasting process, I think, a little bit easier for me, because I've been through that,
Sure.
because there's some similarities in some way, and you are putting yourself out there in a different kind of way, but it's you're still putting yourself out there in some degree.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things. I decided that I. All right, well, let's see. People do this all the time. And I just sort of said, well, I'll figure it out. I mean, I'm self-published. I didn't go down the public. Publishing has changed so much anyway
Yeah.
in the last 10 years that there's not that many major publishing houses anymore. So many people are self-publishing. I just reached out to some writing groups in town, got myself an editor, got myself an illustrator. And they guided me in the process, because they were both doing it themselves. And so I just kind of followed along. They were great mentors, and
Amazing.
figured it out along the way.
Wow, good for you. Like that is amazing. And kids' books, that must have been fun.
The two children's books are about very local subjects. We have a water system here called the Indian River Lagoon in our area. It's part of the intercoastal system along in Florida. I live in Florida, and it is in peril. And it occurred to me that nobody was explaining it to the kids about what had happened and what they could do to help restore it. And I was very much involved in that effort of restoration, still am to some degree. And so I knew a lot. I knew a lot what was going on and what had caused it. And so that was really what created that first book. And then the second book was kind of similar, another children's book, kind of the same age, K through two. And my husband and son, my husband still is in ocean rescue. That's kind of his second job. He used to be an engineer, and then he became an ocean rescue lifeguard. Our
Beautiful.
son is the one who had kind of pulled him into that, who no longer is an ocean rescue lifeguard. But I know that world, and so they are sort of unsung heroes. People don't realize what they do on the daily. So I wrote a book about that and the Florida beaches and rip currents and such. So they were both born out of local knowledge and what I thought would be useful information for the kids.
Ah, I love that a lot. Like, and it's just it's so powerful to me that you wrote books. Like, I just admire that a lot.
Oh, thank you. You
Yeah.
know, it's one of my favorite things about that process with writing children's books is interacting with the illustrator and going back and forth, because that's what you know, the author and the illustrator go back and forth. You have a vision in your head of generally about what you want, what the character looks like, so on and so forth, and some very key things you want included. And of course, they get their vision as you're telling, you know, the story to them. And they're reading it. And so you're melding through back and forth. There's a lot of, well, can you include this? And can you take this out? And so that was probably one of my favorite parts of that whole process, was interacting with the illustrator to come up with the final product. And it takes months. It takes, in both cases, it was probably 7, 8 months. Just going back and forth, not on a hard, we didn't have a hard deadline in either case, so there was no pressure there. But it was just a lot of back and forth and showing of illustrations and then changing illustrations
Very
and
cool.
such.
Very cool. So we touched a little bit on authenticity and I mean, you've got to be, pretty confident in your authenticity, be writing books and doing a podcast and all of that. So tell us about, your authenticity journey, Leslie. Have you, some people, have always just sort of, it's naturally come to them to always be authentic, and they've always been, walking on the earth, living authentically. And then others have, kind of weren't doing that and went through some like big transition or transformation, and then, kind of became aware that they weren't really, living for themselves and being authentic. And then that kind of prompts a change. But so what's your journey been? I'm curious.
I would say for a long time, I was, you know, and I'm thinking about my 20s and 30s, I was, not as authentic as I could have been, for sure, in a lot of circles, not in all circles, but kind of concerned about what people would think,
Yes.
didn't always speak my mind when maybe it was warranted, that kind of thing. And those messages as a little girl about, you know, don't make waves and all that kind of stuff, that we women don't shine too brightly. I still with that one. I still with that one. I'm not fully there yet. Don't shine too brightly. Don't be too, you know, don't be too loud. Don't laugh too, you know, all that. I
Yeah.
think those messages are they're deep. They run deep.
Absolutely.
So you know, really, one of the things that really got me looking at myself was when I became a parent, when I became a mom, because I really wanted to, and I was already doing self-exploration before that, but that was the impetus to really, for me, dive deep, because I wanted to be a better person for them.
Right.
If you know, and just I think that that's one of the gifts for most people when they become a parent. You just want to be better for them and make the world a better place for them.
Yeah.
And so I started really digging deep in at that point. And from there, it was just a process. I can't say that there were any big events. It was a slow process of just starting to peel back the layers, and continuing to peel back the layers. But really, that's, like I said earlier, with age, that's one of the benefits of age. Some of that starts to just fall away naturally,
Yeah.
and you stop. Well, I think because time becomes more important, and you start saying, geez, you know, are you still going to let that be the thing that holds you back? And are you going to die this way? Is this is the way? You, so it's kind of like, let it freaking go. Let it go. So that's really, when I think about my whole process of just being more me, And I would say, especially in the last decade and to five to even the last 5 years, I just feel so much freer, all the time.
Yes, me too. I'm glad. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, right back at you. Right back at you. It's a nice way to it's a nice way to walk the earth.
Right? Like you said, it's so freeing, right? And I like what you said too, how some of it just falls away naturally with age. And I totally agree. That's been some of my experience too. And I'm really, really happy when I see younger people, when I see younger people, sort of noticing it and saying, okay, this, I'm aware of this now and I'm gonna stop, living for everybody else. Because I see younger people kind of coming to that realization all the time around me, and I'm just so very happy it's happening, to them younger.
Yeah, for sure.
But, it falls away naturally as you get older, but it's still, there's still, would you agree that there's still work in it? Yeah, some of it falls away, but then it still creeps back in. You still have to like keep up with all of your awareness of self-talk, with all of the tools and practices that you use. Maybe it's meditation, maybe it's yoga, maybe, whatever it is, that, sort of gets rid of those thoughts or habits or whatever, the good girl thoughts, like you were talking about a moment ago.
I for sure. I think those it's those tapes have been running a while, and so I would say they're not as they're there, but they don't run. They're not etched so deeply anymore, but they can still run. They are do not have the charge for me in general that they used to maybe in some situations. But yeah, I think you still have to be aware and conscious, right, about coming across and being you, saying what needs to be said. That doesn't mean you have to speak your mind all the time everywhere
Yeah.
because sometimes you just move on. And you don't have, but there is a time and a place. And then even knowing that, is this a, is this, do I really need to say something here or do I just need to just let this go? So that's something to monitor. So, but I don't even really like to use the word monitor because monitor sounds like hard work. And this is more of a, this place now is more of a free flowing, just kind of letting it rep kind of thing. And it doesn't it's a lot more ease and doesn't re require so much effort, but still awareness.
Sure. So, you were talking about how, when you were younger, you were less authentic because of all, the messages that we hear when we grew up, and it's just, I think maybe generally harder to be more authentic when you're younger, right? Because you part of it is you're finding still kind of finding yourself. But so much more aware of, what other people are thinking and, society this and that. And as you've gotten older, it's gotten easier. What was sort of that middle range like for you? Like the 30s. You also mentioned, Leslie, that it made a big difference when you started having kids. And so did that just make you more present to your thoughts? Talk a little bit more about that.
That is when I really started diving into reading a lot of books regarding, self-development, self-awareness, that kind of thing. And I think just kids make you really, really think about how do I want to show up? And thinking about what I'm saying at any given moment and what messages I'm giving to them that they may be, may be embracing or not embracing, and do I want them to carry that around? So it really, that is where I started to examine my own behavior and breaking some patterns that maybe had been passed to me that, who knows? So yeah, the 30s and 40s were the same way. I just continued our, the kids, during those years, of course, in my case, I was, working. We were raising a family, busy with all I loved being a mom. So I was very, involved in that. And so that you're just so busy, that there were times that I wished I had moments of more introspection. There was, I had to find them. I really had to find them here and there. And really looking back on that, if I could say anything to a young mother, I would say, you don't have to do everything. You can ask for help. I was not somebody that easily asked for help. And that's still something that I probably could do more of, but I'm a whole lot better than I was then. And I was trying to be a super mom, super wife, super everything. And as another message. And so I would say, ask for help and it's okay to take some moments for yourself, and you're going to be a better person for anybody who's in your life. You're just going to be more present. Your cup's going to be filled back up, and you're going to be able to do whatever is needed in a much more balanced way.
Right. And that's really important for our kids too, because a minute ago you were saying, you wanted to make sure that what you were saying to your kids, was sort of the right thing, but they're also watching our actions. And so if our actions don't meet the words, they're probably getting more from what we are doing than what we're saying. And yeah, so it's really that mindful sort of being present with. I remember, I barely remember my 30s because I was so busy and working and young babies and things like that, and things would just come out of my mouth, like that were passed down to me, even in my 40s too, in the early 40s, and because I was so busy that I couldn't even, sort of be more mindful and present and think about what I was saying. And so like I love what you said about taking time for yourself. Like, you got to fill your own cup first and put yourself first. And it's not selfish to put ourselves first, especially as mothers, as women, because, then we are able to serve from a better place, everyone who's around us.
And that continues. I mean, that continues as you start to realize, wow, I took that hour and I went and did whatever it was myself, and wow, I feel so much better, or I hired that person to do this because I couldn't get to it. And you know what? The money was well spent. And because it freed me up and allowed me to do this, so you can look at it in different ways. And I, so I that was probably my big struggle as a in my 30s and 40s was that, and letting, just embracing the help and the you don't and the perfection, the perfectionism of trying to do it all.
Yeah, and that for me, I don't know about for you, I'd like to hear for you, that came from, my childhood, and for different reasons. But it was, and society too, right? Because I was so worried about what everybody else thought and like meeting all of their expectations instead of just worrying about the most important person and whose expectations I should be worried about, which was my own.
Exactly. And I think another thing too that relates to that is examining our expectations in terms of, how I think it's supposed to look and how I think it's supposed to be, and is this realistic? And where did it come from to begin with? And just really taking a look at some of that is super important as well.
And I just want to emphasize too that part that you said about asking for help, because I always thought that I had to do it on my own too. And I know there's so many women, moms, other people out there who are feeling the same way. You know, we've society has just kind of gotten to this point where where we aren't really, helping each other and supporting each other in the way that used to, like, and kind of what I'm thinking of is, there's that saying where it takes a village to raise kids. Well, that's how people used to raise their kids. Like the whole village would help, right? A whole community of women would be together and be raising their kids together. And now everything
Right.
is so isolated and separate.
Yeah.
And, you know, it, and so just remembering to ask for help is a good first step, to building that, your community around you for that help.
Yeah, it's really, really true. And also just letting go of the competition between, sometimes that can exist between women. Or really, it's men and women, of trying to compete and, oh, I'm the better mom, I'm doing it this way, whatever that looks. There's some of that's an undertone there, and letting some of that go, and letting some of those judgments go about how somebody's doing it, and maybe if they're, maybe they're not doing it the way you would do it, but that doesn't make it any less important for them.
Right. So kind of letting everybody have their experience and being okay with it. Yeah. Nice. Any other advice like that you would give to people just on their authenticity journeys or on their path to really, sort of finding themselves and getting on the right path for, for them?
I would say that listen to your intuition. It does not steer you wrong, and it and not just, is it going to be a big booming voice in the sky? Probably not. It's going to be something in your body. Maybe it's like we call it the gut feeling or whatever, but starting to pay attention to how things feel, and do they light you up? Do they expand you, or do they contract you at any given moment? You're in a conversation with somebody, or does this make me feel like, expanded, or does this make me go, oh? And really paying attention to that, that intuition is, and that your path, your road is unique to you, and people, even your closest people that love you, are not walking the same walk as you are. And so realizing that, and it's exciting, it can be, intimidating too. But you are unique. So you getting comfortable with you and trusting you along that path. And that's where the intuition comes in. And I would say that is a huge, huge piece, at least for me in my life.
I'm so glad you went there. So powerful. I couldn't agree more. And you're right. Like we need to feel how it feels in our bodies. And for anyone out there who might be feeling like, I don't even know if I hear my intuition anymore or if I can feel anything, you can. You can
Yes.
just start to like go get out of your head and drop into your heart, into your body. Like Leslie was saying, like listen to how your body is feeling. It's giving you messages. It can be, anything from a stomach ache. It can be a racing heart. It could be heaviness, or tension in the shoulders. It can be any number of things. It can be just like this sort of soft whisper, even, or this sort of nudging thought. So you can tune in, even though you feel like you might not be able to, you can.
And it is. It's allowing that time and not overthinking it, because it's
Yeah.
there. And not waiting for the clouds to part and the light to shine down, because
Yeah.
maybe it will, but a lot of times it's a quiet sort of feeling. But if that seems too big, just what makes you curious? What are the things that make you curious? Because curious is an expanding feeling. Like, oh, that it's so figuring out, because maybe the words expanding and contracting are not the right words for somebody else to describe it. Maybe they would describe it differently. So find those words, those feeling words, but apply it to your body. because it is there, and the more that you follow it, the stronger it'll become, for
Yeah.
sure.
And it will never lead you down the wrong path, right?
Absolutely.
Whereas our heads
Absolutely.
can, right? And so we have usually how it goes is there's lots of possibilities or answers or what ifs up in the head, but there's only one answer in our heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that whole, the sages have been saying it for eons. Listen to your heart, and there's great wisdom there. There's great
Yes.
wisdom in that we're all walking around with it. So really paying attention and trusting. You got to trust in it.
And that's a big part of it. That was really hard for me, I know, when I was reconnecting with mine, because I feel like I had sort of shut it off for so long. Everything was, oh, what do I think? And, it was analyzing it and all of that kind of thing. I was up in my head so for so many years. And so when I did start to reconnect with my intuition, there was this sort of, can I really trust this? Is this really the right answer? How do I know it's the right answer? Kind of.
Right. Oh yeah, we all have gotten caught in that for sure. I do this exercise sometimes when I'm teaching in different ways with groups, and I have them, okay, think of a current problem that you have, and okay, take that problem and take a moment, or in just I have in some cases I'll have them just write down what are all the things that your head is telling you. And so they'll take a couple minutes and they'll write all that down, or they'll just think about it. And then I'll say, now think of that same problem and go to your heart. And what is your heart telling you about that problem?
I love this.
And it's just, you want to talk about a shift for people, because all the chatter kind of falls away. And then it's usually a feeling of just, it's a very simple, short, might even be a word, and it's right there. And it's such a powerful exercise that I just love to do, because it just illustrates what we're talking about.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I love that, and I'm definitely going to use that. And I
Yeah,
think that
do
will our listeners too. That's
it.
amazing.
Yeah, I do. I'm glad you like it. Because that's what was kind of coming to me as you were talking.
Nice. Nice. Leslie, I have enjoyed our time together so much. Once again, we've spent a little
Me
bit
too.
of, we've had a couple of conversations.
Me
And,
too. Thank you. Thank you.
you're welcome. I'm just so glad to be connected with you.
Me too. You're very easy to talk to, and I know your podcast is going to do great. You're
Oh.
just, you really. I don't know, you just have this, it's a feeling, and you just it's very open and very welcoming, and yeah, I and people feel that.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you. So tell everybody, let's hear about your podcast and where can people find you?
My podcast is called Meaning and Moxie After 50,
Love it.
and it implies just what the title, it is, it's about what the title implies. People looking for meaning and who are moxified, spunky, courageous, gritty, after 50, and we're looking at all the way up, all the decades up. So, and who knows? I mean, we're even challenging that in this podcast about reimagining the vision for aging and what that looks like. So I just launched this past Monday on January 15th. This is 2024. I don't know when this will be out there in the ether. So who knows when somebody's listening. And I hope you check it out. You can find it on any of the platforms. And you can also go to meaningandmoxieafter50.com. And there's information there as well. And somewhere down the line, I want to do a course, probably early summer. Geared towards people, creative aging, helping people thrive and, as they age and reimagine retirement and things like that. So that's sort of brewing right now. I'm just kind of letting it brew on the stove, so to speak, and see what happens there. But that's the podcast side of me.
I love it. I love what you're doing with that, and I can't wait to listen in and hear more.
Super. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, have a great day, and until next time.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks again. Bye now.
Bye-bye. What an easy flowing conversation that was. Thank you, Leslie. I appreciated all the ground that we covered, how easygoing she is, and I especially loved how we ended things talking about listening to and trusting your heart, because there is great wisdom there. So good, so good. Remember that above all else. Okay, here are the takeaways from our conversation. One, make it fun. Make it all fun. Two, question the negative stories in your head and ask if they're really true. Most of the time they aren't. Three, allow the fearful part of you to be heard rather than resisting it. When we're heard, we feel validated and there is an energy release and then integration. Four, it's important to be in community with people who are growing and who want to see you grow. Five, don't be a fixer when someone is talking to you about themselves and what they have going on. Be a supporter and validator. That's a hard one for me. I've always been a fixer because I was a leader and manager in corporate, and a mom, and and I know when that's not right to be, even though I was doing all those things, but I was always one, and I'm still trying to get out of that pattern. So that's a biggie for me. Number six, important things for our growth are new experiences, self-reflection, self-care, community, asking for help, learning new things, authenticity, validation, and tuning into your intuition. Number seven, examine your expectations of how you think it's supposed to look and how you think it's supposed to be. Is it realistic and where did it come from? Is it something that was just passed down to you? Number eight, let go of competition, judgment, and comparison. Let everyone have their experience and be okay with it. Number nine, listen to your intuition. It does not steer you wrong. Number 10, listen to and trust your heart. There is great wisdom there. Oof, I love that one. Hey, have you guys tried Mud Water yet? It's the coffee replacement drink I have every morning, and it's yummy with a little honey and oat milk. I started drinking it a few years ago when I was kicking all of my addictions, and that included caffeine. Two of the things I like best about it are that it's organic and it's made with mushrooms, so it has tons of health benefits. The best part is you get 15% off. Yes, 15%, that's a change. If you use my link, which is mudwater.com/PaulaSchuster. That's MUDWTR.com/PaulaSchuster. I'll put a link in the show notes too. It was really fucking awesome hanging out with you again today, and I'm looking forward to next week on the Scared as Fuck and Doing It Anyway podcast. You know, life is freaking busy all the time, and I am so grateful that you're spending some of your valuable time here. I hope my podcast gives you new perspective. I hope it sparks inspiration in some way. I hope it adds positivity to your day, and I hope this particular episode helps you find some time for self-reflection. I hope it helps you ask for help when you need it. And I hope it helps you listen to your heart more. I would love to hear from you. I would love to connect with you. That's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, is because I want to connect with more people. So reach out and tell me what you liked about the podcast, or tell me what you didn't like, or don't tell me anything about the podcast, and just reach out and let's talk and connect. You can always reach me at paula@reikiflowmn.com. And it would be totally fucking cool if you left me a review of the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Reviews are the best because they fill my heart and they help others find the podcast too, which literally helps me keep the podcast going. You can also leave ratings on Spotify, which help us a ton as well. Remember to follow along on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening, because I have so many more amazing episodes coming up. And please download, follow, or subscribe. Everything's in a algorithm. I don't know how that's pronounced. And if you know anyone who would like this episode or benefit from it, please share it with them. Send them a link, text them about it, or if you're feeling extra generous, post about it on your socials. That would be super cool. You're always welcome to email me at paula@reikiflowmn.com with questions, things you want to hear about, guests you want to have on the podcast. Do you want to be a guest on the podcast? Let me know. All right, that's it. Thanks again for being here. I love you all so much. Peace out.